Chapter 26. We followed the map and set off toward the place where we figured was the boss's lair, but as we rode, it became clear we weren't in the nice part of Alfheim anymore. Where the market was bright and beautiful, with bustling people and vibrant colors, this area of town seemed to have a gray cast over it. We rarely saw anyone on the road, and anyone we did see wore tattered clothes and had carts that were nearly broken down. The houses we passed were just as bad. The stone parts were cracked and falling apart, and if there were windows, they were missing panes or busted out altogether. Alfheim usually had beautiful foliage, but this area of town was practically dead. The grass was yellow, but not like it usually was. It looked like it had been burnt. It was a deep, terrible yellow that hurt my eyes, and the trees in the area had brown, brittle leaves that fell off onto the road and crackled as we ran over them. The entire region sent a chill down my spine, and I wondered why someone so powerful, with so much coin and influence, would choose to set up his business here. Then it hit me. This would be the perfect place to set up an illegal trade. I doubted many people came this way, and those who did were either lost or they lived here themselves, in which case they didn't care what anyone else did. This was a great place to avoid detection and avoid getting robbed. If this boss man had set up his trade somewhere close to the city, then it would only be a matter of time before someone noticed how many coins he had. Out here, though, I didn't think anybody would consider they might want what one of these people had. It didn't look like they had a lot, which made it the perfect place to hide riches.
I think we're nearly there,
Cass said as we rounded a corner of the dirt road.
Good.
Ira grimaced as she looked around.
This part of town is awful.
It's not a place people go very often.
Asta nodded. You know this area? I asked. We'd all been so concentrated on the trip there, we hadn't spoken much.
Yes. It is said to be where those who are exiled go to live out their days. Exiled by the Elf King? By society.
Asta shook her head.
It is for the mentally disturbed, the outcast, the less desirables.
I nodded. That makes sense. This was the part of town where people went when they had nothing and nobody else. No wonder they didn't seem to care what their homes looked like. From the sounds of it, it wasn't like they had visitors very often, if ever.
Before we get there, I had another idea.
What is it?
We're already disguised as the men from earlier, but the dragons are disguised as dogs.
Yeah?
I was thinking,
she said, and she licked her lips nervously.
What if we take the enchantment off them so they look like themselves? Obviously, we don't have to do it if you don't want to, but I thought they could maybe sneak into the cages with the dragons who are already there.
Well, my first reaction was a no, but I realized that was why Kaa seemed nervous. She knew I wanted to protect the dragons at all costs, but I also had to consider the entire situation. If we showed up with dogs, it would be suspicious. And if we hid them inside the cart, they wouldn't be right next to us to assist if something went wrong. It might be good to have them go to see the other dragons, too. That way they could assure them we were there to help. I didn't want to scare the dragons any more than they, no doubt, were already. I think that's a good idea. I finally nodded and looked down at Bla, who rode on my knees. What do you think, buddy? The little blue dragon nodded his approval, and his bright blue eyes narrowed into slits as he gave me his best warrior look. He was ready for battle, and so was I. Okay, I told Cass. Remove the enchantment.
Great,
the strawberry blonde replied with a smile. Oh, and thank you, I added as I met her gaze. That was a good idea.
Of course.
The sorceress blushed slightly and looked down. It didn't take long for Kaas and Asta to remove the spell, which was good, because just as they finished, we came to a large gate on our right.
I think this is the place,
Kaas said as she looked at the map.
Are you sure?
Asta asked, and her face pulled into a grimace.
This seems so dirty.
The elf girl was right. The area beyond the gate was the worst of the entire town we'd gone through. There were broken down carts with missing wheels, random structures that appeared to be falling apart, and the grass and weeds were so overgrown it was difficult to see the makeshift road that led to wherever it was they kept the dragons.
It has to be,
Kaas said as she showed Asta the map.
They probably do it on purpose. Nobody wants to rob a place like this.
That was my thought as well. I agreed. I took a deep breath and looked at my team. Asta, the beautiful white-haired elf girl, had a look of determination in her yellow eyes, and though she was inherently sweet and kind, I knew she wanted to take down these dealers just as much as I did. Kaas, my gorgeous, strawberry-blonde sorceress, bit her bottom lip nervously as she stared at the gate. She was fierce when she needed to be, but she was also practical, and we didn't know what we were walking into. She had every reason to be nervous. A little bit of nerves was a good thing. It kept the body and mind alert. Ira, the red-headed warband leader, was new to our team, but she'd proven herself to be a valuable member already. I was surprised she'd been so willing to take time out of her schedule to come with us, but she seemed happy to help. Blah, my sweet terror of a dragon, sat on my knees and stared at the gate ahead. His little blue eyes were intense as he focused on the land beyond, and I could feel his steady breathing. He was silly and had a huge personality, but when the situation got serious, so did he. I always knew I could count on him on and off the battlefield. Inga sat on Asta's shoulder, and her purple eyes looked around curiously. She was a small force to be reckoned with, and I was glad Asta had her assistance whenever we were in a fight. Ufe, my little earth dragon, sat at Kaas's feet and pursed his scaly little lips as he stared at the gate. The shy baby dragon wasn't so timid when it came to duels, and I couldn't wait to see how his fighting style progressed as he grew. In that moment, I was proud of my team and all we'd accomplished so far. We hadn't been in the business of executing dragon dealers for long, but we'd already taken out a dozen of them and freed three times as many dragons. Knowing there were still others in slavery only pushed me to continue on our mission. I'd free every last dragon, no matter how long it took. All right. Everyone make sure you remember who you are. We don't have to know everything about these men, but remember you're pretending to be a male. Asta and Kaas were both so delicate and feminine, I figured it wouldn't hurt to remind them to try and act like a man.
Just burp a lot and you'll be fine.
Not exactly what I was going to say, but you're probably right.
We'll do our best.
Asta nodded. I know you will. I just want to remind you we're about to enter a dangerous situation. Stay close to me if you can. In case things go south, I want to know where everyone is.
Okay.
And nobody attacks until I do. We need to find the boss. If we lose our tempers and lash out without him being here, then we risk losing him.
That makes sense. He'd probably find a new place to do his dealings.
Exactly. I nodded.
It's funny,
Ira said with a playful smirk.
I used to give you orders, now I'm the one taking them.
I know you've been on plenty of missions before.
No.
Ira shook her head.
This is different than I'm used to, but not bad. I'm happy to follow your commands.
Good. I smiled, and then I looked at the little dragons. I'm sorry, but you three will have to hide until we get there. Blah looked up at me and shook his head. I know you don't want to be away from us, I told him with a pat on the head. But we can't show up with dragons. You'll need to wait. Sneak over to the cages and blend in with the other dragons when you have a chance. Can you do that? I considered having Blah open a portal to get the dragons out, but that would draw too much attention right now. We needed to take these assholes out before we figured out what to do with the dragons. Blah pursed his little lips, but then he nodded his agreement. I knew it wasn't what he wanted, and he'd have to do as I said if I commanded him, but usually there was no need for that. The little blue dragon understood the plan, and he knew he was an integral part of it. Besides, if he, Inga, and Ufe were inside the dragon cages, they'd be able to slip out and help attack if we needed it. I gave Blah one last pat on the head, and then he and the twins retreated to the back of the cart while I flicked the reins. The cart bobbed up and down as we slowly made our way down the long, uneven road, and the farther we got, the more destroyed the area seemed.
What's that?
I looked to the right, and off in the distance I could see there was a large skull in the field. I immediately knew it was from a dragon, and my heart sank. These assholes hadn't even buried the creature after it died.
It's a dragon skeleton,
Ira said grimly, and I had to close my eyes and look away for a moment.
How awful.
Asta frowned.
Look!
Cass gasped, and she pointed in front of us. I looked up to see there was now a large wooden structure off in the distance. That had to be where we were headed, so I took a deep breath and steadied myself to make sure I was in character. Once we were close enough to the building, I quickly scanned the area to see what all was around that could possibly be useful in a fight, but I didn't see much. There were a couple more broken carts, plus 4 or 5 that appeared to be in working order. I saw some of the horned, horse-like animals, similar to ours, grazing a few hundred yards away, and there was a pile of rusted swords, shields, armor, and various other metal scraps. For a second, I wondered why I didn't see any dragons outside, but then I realized the animals being kept inside was another thing done purposefully. If a dragon flew over this area and saw another one imprisoned, it would intervene. That wasn't a risk they could take. Dragons were almost like pack animals. They looked out for each other, even if they didn't know one another. Even Asta said the dragons here never fought, since they were like one large family. I wasn't exactly sure what to do now that we'd arrived at the building, but I held my head high and tried to act like I did. I parked our cart next to the ones with all their wheels intact, and then the girls and I hopped off.
Kimba!
Someone yelled, and I looked around and found a tall older elf standing in the doorway of the large wooden building.
You're late. Get in here.
I wasn't sure what our names were, so I just nodded and gestured to the girls to follow. We all walked toward the man, and I thought about the little dragons in the back. They'd have to get inside on their own, which made me nervous, but I knew they could handle themselves. I just had to have faith I'd trained them properly. The girls and I walked up to the man who waited for us, and I got a good look at his face. He was old, which was saying a lot for an elf, since they were like Asgardians in that they didn't age very quickly, if at all, so this man had to be ancient. He had thinning long black hair, deep-set green eyes with wrinkles around them, and his body was scrawny and frail-looking. I wondered just how old he was and how long he'd been doing this. Was he the boss?
What took you so long?
The man muttered as he led us inside. We had some difficulties with the buyers.
Huh. I'm sure you took care of it, right?
He asked with a glare. Of course, I said. I wasn't sure how this guy usually talked, but I thought if I kept things simple it wouldn't matter too much.
The boss won't be happy to hear about us losing business.
He led us down a small hallway, then out into the huge open area of the building. My breath left my chest as I was overcome with the emotions of the dragons around me. There were cages everywhere, and each one was filled with dragons of different colors and sizes. Along one wall hung at least 100 cages for baby dragons. Not all of them were full, but there were at least 12 tiny dragons trapped behind those bars. One dragon was silver, and I saw 2 deep purple ones as well. I guess they sold most of the babies, but they kept the ones they thought could bring them the most money if they bred them or trained them. Aside from the babies, there were plenty of other dragons around. Large cages filled the building, and of the 8 I counted, 6 were filled with full-sized adult dragons. The cages most likely had spells on them to keep the dragons in, otherwise I didn't see how a full-sized dragon couldn't bust out easily. The first cage I looked at contained a large red female with bright white eyes that glared at us through the bars of her cage. There was another I thought was male, and he looked like burnished gold. His scales shimmered in the light that came in through the windows, and I admired how beautiful he was. There was also a deep emerald green male, and two purple females I thought might be twins. The last cage in the corner contained a large male dragon. He was a deep brown color, and his emotions reminded me of the ones the dragon in the cart had felt. He was resigned to his life behind bars, and I knew he'd been there the longest of everyone. He'd given up hope of being saved, and now all he felt was perpetual sadness, fear, and hunger. These assholes didn't feed them nearly enough, nor that I'd expect them to. They didn't care about the dragons as living beings, they only wanted to make a profit off them. They'd probably chosen the females and males they had specifically for breeding purposes, which made me feel sick to my stomach. Dragons were highly intelligent, and they understood what was happening. It wasn't as if they sought out the other as a mate. They were forced to reproduce with them. It had to have been horrifying for all of them. My whole body shook as I experienced the fear and pain of the animals surrounding me, and I clenched my fists in an effort to contain myself as I tried to focus on the goings-on around the dragons. There were at least half a dozen other elves there. Some sat at a table, drank mead, and played some sort of elven game I wasn't familiar with, while a few others raked grass and dung from empty cages. I studied each of the men to see if I could find the boss, but none of them seemed like the leader type. They all looked dirty, like they'd been working in the building all day, and I suspected they weren't even dealers, but most likely just hired hands for labor. I hated to think of the kind of men who would take a job like this, even if it meant money in their pockets. It was foul and cruel, and the more I looked at these men, the more I felt they were the unsavory type, to simply not care what job they did, or who got hurt by it. If they were hired hands, though, then the group we'd taken out was probably the only group of dealers the boss had. The man we'd interrogated the day before said the dealers sold the babies just after sunrise, so they didn't get caught with them. If that was a legitimate concern, then I supposed it made sense to only have one group of dealers at a time. I wondered what would happen to the men if they were caught, though. The Elf King had dragons himself, so there was no way he'd actually punish them. Unless even his guards didn't know about his dealings. He probably tried to maintain a good appearance for the public, and even if he got his dragons from these men, it was the boss he most likely did business with. The Elf King wasn't exactly the kind of client one would simply pass off to their lackeys. "What are you standing around for?" the old elf asked, and he looked at my team with a terrible sneer. "Get ready for your next delivery."
Right, I nodded. "What do you want us to do?"
"You know, you get dumber every time I see you,"
the elf snapped, but then he pointed to the back wall where there were a dozen or so plants growing.
"Tie the leaves into a bundle for your smoke bombs, you imbecile, or do I need to show you how to do it again?"
"We can handle it."
"Then handle it."
He glared at me before he walked away, and I heard some of the men at the table chuckle at our expense. We'd apparently gotten in trouble with the manager, but I didn't care. He wasn't the boss, and as long as he didn't realize we weren't who he thought we were, our plan was working. I glanced over to the wall filled with the baby dragon cages, and suddenly saw Inga in one of them. The little red dragon was inside a cage with a small green female, and I saw Inga nuzzle the green dragon's face softly. If Inga was inside, the others had to be too. I took another look at the cages as the girls and I walked to the back of the room, and I found Blar inside the cage with a dark green male. The little blue dragon was hidden behind the male's tail, so nobody could see him, but the green dragon looked at me, and I nodded so he understood we were on his side. Ufe was inside the cage with the older brown male. I hoped the little dragon's presence would give the big male some hope, but when I focused on his emotions again, I found them to still be helpless and pained. I didn't think there was anything I could do to make the poor creature feel better,
not until he was finally free. And even then, he'd spent so long inside a cage, it would be a transition to be free once again. After I knew the little dragons were okay, the girls and I walked over to the table with the plants. They were all the same, about 3 feet tall, with large yellow and purple leaves that smelled incredibly familiar. There were a few leaves already bound and drying on the table, so I discreetly picked up one of the bundles and sniffed it. I realized then where I knew it from. That was the scent of the torch the man had thrown at the dragon in the dungeon, the one that had put him to sleep. Whatever this plant was, the smoke it produced had some sort of sleeping effect on dragons, possibly other animals as well. "Pastor," I whispered while we worked, "do you know what this is?"
"No."
She shook her head.
"I've never seen this plant before."
"Never?" I asked, and my brow furrowed as I continued to wrap the bundle in my hands. Even if we were going to destroy the plants the first chance we got, we still had to look busy and do the work. We didn't know how long we'd be here before the boss showed up.
"I don't think it's from Alfheim. Why do you say that?"
Ira asked, and I caught her eye as we both glanced to the side without moving our heads, so it didn't look like we were talking.
"I lived in the woods for a long time by myself,"
Asta replied, and she licked her lips as she studied the plant in front of her.
"That's how I learned to make such wonderful tea. I used to pick all the herbs I could find and try them in different ways. I've seen every herb in Alfheim, and I've never seen this one. Maybe it's from a specific area."
"That's possible."
Ira pursed her lips together.
"But if that was the case, then I imagine most elves would know about it."
"This is the same substance the guard in the Elf King's dungeon used to put the dragon to sleep. I think Ira's right. If this came from Alfheim, more elves would know about it, especially since it has the ability to take out dragons."
"So this is how they're stealing the babies,"
Cass said with a small shake of her head. "I think so." I nodded just enough for the girls to see.
"They use this to put the mothers and the babies to sleep. Then they steal the babies but keep the mothers alive so they'll keep having babies they can steal."
"Fuckers," I growled in a low voice, and my fists clenched around the bundle of leaves in my hand. These assholes were going to pay for what they'd done. But I took another deep breath so I could control myself. It didn't matter how angry I was, we needed to wait for the boss to arrive before we attacked.
"Are you four done yet?"
the old elf asked as he walked up behind us. Nearly done."
"You know, I rather like this more agreeable side to you,"
he said with a terrible, rotten smile.
"Maybe breathing in all that pollicking smoke has finally caught up with you."
"It's a must-have," I said as I finished wrapping the bundle in my hand.
"Hurry up. The boss will be here for an inspection any moment. You'll have to explain to him whatever trouble it was you had today, and why you're missing two of your crew members." I didn't think he'd noticed, but apparently he had. He just didn't care.
Dealers probably came and went pretty quickly. It seemed like a dangerous job, especially if there was actually some sort of anti-dragon slavery resistance in Alfheim, like the man we'd interrogated had implied. The old elf walked away, and the girls each turned to look at me.
"Let's see what we can find out. Wait for my signal."
"You got it, leader,"
Ira said with a wink. I smiled back at the redhead, finished wrapping the bundle of leaves in my hand, and then straightened my shoulders as I turned round and looked out into the open area of the building. The dragons in the cages stared at me with suspicion and curiosity now that my little dragons had been whispering into their ears.
"Wrath?"
Asta said, but before I could turn around to speak to her, another voice rang through the building, and a figure appeared in the doorway we'd come through.
"Hello!"
the man hollered.
"How are my babies today?"
My eyes narrowed on the man. He didn't know it yet, but his babies were about to be free. And he was about to join Ove in Helheim. Only of the two of them, he was the one who actually belonged there.
"Kimber!"
the new elf said, and he turned to grin at me.
I hear you have something to tell me.